Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Today is Tuesday, a couple days before the 4th of July, so just in case I forget, happy 4th of July to everyone. It's a big day, you know, big barbecue day, big barbecue week, right? You know, I've been barbecuing since last week, so I barbecued like on Saturday. Why did I do it on Saturday? I don't know, but I did. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be barbecuing on the 4th this week, but maybe so. I don't know. It may hit me. I don't know. But anyway, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today. It is 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. Beautiful day here in SoCal, here live from the Sherman Oaks studios of LA Talk Radio, high above on the 4th floor. Anyway, so hopefully your week has started off well. Today is Tuesday, like I said. So the week hasn't really started yet, right? So maybe you're just now getting into it, but hopefully it's going well, regardless of where you are in your week. We're live here, right? I always say that. I mean, we're hospitality unplugged, first and foremost, right? So which means we talk about everything hospitality. That can be anything. I mean, that can be hotels, that can be restaurants, that can be if you're a foodie, if you're an influencer, if you're a DJ. We had a DJ here last week, right? He didn't even know that he can be a DJ. You know, he grew up not knowing that that was even a profession, but that's what he does now. So, I mean, I'll jump back into that a little later, talking about Amani Roberts, who was my guest last week, who used to be a former GM with Marriott and then said, you know what, I want to do this DJ thing. So he went, educated himself, and he's still in hospitality, right? But he's doing his own thing now. So that's a great thing. He went from the corporate life to the creative life. There you go. So Hospitality Unplugged. You can say what you want to say on the radio. Well, this is internet radio, so you really can say. If I wanted to sit here and talk crazy, I could. But I'm not going to, because that's not what it's all about, right? Just because you can say things, I can't even speak today. Just because you can say it doesn't mean you should say it, right? So we're, you know, I'm clear about that. And, you know, there's some things that I don't like that I'll mention, but it'll be in a way that it, you know, it doesn't, you know, throw anyone under the bus, so to speak. So, in fact, I got one today. I mean, I was coming in today, and I stopped at a hotel. I'll just say it's in Hollywood. I've been there before. It's an independent hotel. I actually used to work for a management company that used to have that hotel. And I haven't been there, it's probably about 3 years. I'm going to say 2 or 3 years, something like that. You're talking about, and I hear that the ownership, you know, basically was running a hotel by themselves. So they had a management company before, and then they went ahead, and I guess the agreement was only for several years. And then after that, he didn't renew it. So basically, they managed it themselves. I mean, you talk about a big difference between when this management company had it and when, you know, the ownership had it. totally night and day. I'm not saying that that's the norm for everyone that tries to manage their own hotel. But if you're absentee owner, and I always say that for restaurants, anything like that, absentee owner, you know, you're relying on other people to come in and take care of things. And it never works out for whatever reason. It just never works out. So if you own a hotel, your owner, try to get a reputable company in there to take care of it. Because as far as the, you know, check and balances, cleanliness, things like that, if you don't have a management company, someone to call and say, hey, what's going on here? That's not a good situation to be in. So now you have to spend money, because when I went in there, the place is dirty for the most part. It's, you know, there's a lot of maintenance issues. I mean, there's a lot of cleanliness, just things out of place. I mean, you can go into a room and see, you know, item placement. I mean, that's one thing. I used to be a housekeeping manager. I'm sure I shared that with you before. So you can go into a room and see something's out of place. If that's the literature that you have there, if that's, you know, pictures that are, you know, half falling off, TVs, if that's towels, you know, how they're hanging. I mean, things like that. I look at all that stuff and you can tell that no one's watching or no one's, you know, coming in and checking in back of other people. No supervisors going in and checking rooms and having the housekeeper come back and say, hey, can you fix this? Can you fix that? It was just out of sorts, and it was very disappointing, because I remember when this hotel had a grand opening about 4 years ago, and I was there, and I'm like, this place is great. I mean, it's small, it's great, it's nice. They did a lot of work on the hotel because it was something else, and they changed it into an independent hotel. But now it was very disappointing. I'll just leave it at that. Like I said, hospitality unplugged, right? Also, I stopped at the and I'll mention this one. I stopped at the Sportsman's Lodge Hotel, and happened. The only reason I stopped there, I was on my way here, of course, but I needed to type out some things and respond to some emails. So, and I needed to charge my iPad. So, what's a better place than a hotel, right? Hotel lobby. So, I'm in the lobby charging up my iPad and doing a little work, and I run into Robert Rycroft. Who the heck is Robert Rycroft? He's the controller for Broughton Hotels. I used to work for Larry Broughton, one of the people on Blast, right? Or he's not on Blast anymore, but he's the CEO, so Robert actually works for his company. And I just happened to be in the lobby, and I see him, and then he says, hey, do you know Jim's here too? Jim Schichter, the COO with Broughton Hotels. He's in the meeting room. So I go in there and talk to them. It's always good to see them. They were great people. I mean, you know, when you leave companies, you know, and you leave and there's good people there, you miss that kind of stuff. So that's the stuff I miss. I don't miss working for a hotel necessarily, but I miss some of the people that you deal with. And, you know, Robert and Jim, those are definitely people that definitely were on your side, in your corner, whatever you needed. They were there to help you with it. So I do appreciate those guys, and it was good to meet them, or good to see them again. So, and I told them I would give them a shout out too. So shout out to Broughton Hotels, specifically Jim Schichter, COO, and then Robert Rycroft, who is a corporate controller. Industry news. Now, this is something that's been going on. It's been going on for a while, but I hadn't talked about it because I had other stuff to talk about. Well, now it's just me today. I don't have a guest today, so there's some things I wanted to talk about. So human trafficking. You know, I don't know if people know that a lot of this stuff goes on in hotels. And I'm not saying that. Sometimes we can be totally oblivious. Gosh, I can't even speak today, like I said, to what's going on outside, you know, of our, you know, our normal work. You know, we're just like, oh, it doesn't happen here, that kind of stuff. Well, guess what? It does happen. It happens in a lot of hotels here in the U.S. And it's just one of those things that we need to be aware of. You know, I'm not saying you need to, you know, well, no, you do. You do. You need to train people on how to spot this stuff. I mean, if you see something, you got to report something. That's just simple as that. There's no way to put it. I mean, I have kids, a lot of people have kids, and we wouldn't want our kids to be in that situation. Okay. So what are some of the signs? Well, let me, before I get to some of the signs of that, Marriott Hotels International, they're one of the first hotels. I think they are the first hotel company to actually have training. They've already trained 500,000 of their associates to how to be aware of this and what to do if you do come across this. You know, you're not, you know, jumping in and trying to save the day. You're not doing that, but you are reporting it. you know, and there's warning signs that, that you have to look at or you have to see. I mean, from the front desk to, you know, people, you know, parking and driving in. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of signs out there. And I know this for a fact because it's not necessarily the human trafficking part, but it's the prostitution part. OK, so hotels do have that going on. I mean, believe it or not, it doesn't have to be a Motel 6 to have this happen. OK, the best hotels have it and people are getting real sophisticated about how they do things. OK, so I know about this because, of course, I was a general manager. I was in operation. So you see, you know, things that are going on and, you know, you have to report it or you have to do something. You just can't act like it didn't does not exist. Just like your people doing drugs in your hotel and you're, and there's a policy against drugs, okay, or smoking or anything like that. I mean, we're quick to throw that smoking charge of $500 out there like, hey, you're smoking in the room. But if you see something else, oh, I didn't see that. Is that really going on here? No, I don't think so. But you have to be conscious of what's going on. And it's your responsibility. If you're if you work in a hotel, you're the general manager, you're a manager or you're an employee to see someone in some type of distress or whatever. I think it's up to the, I don't think it is up to us to report it. I don't know why I'm thinking here, but it's up to us to report it. Okay. So Marriott, like I said, have trained 500,000 employees on what to look at. What are the signs for that? And I'll throw out a couple signs for you just so you know. Cause I know I have a lot of hotel people that listen to the show on air with Russell of Hotels. There you go. Hashtag hospitality unplugged, which means we cover stuff that maybe other people don't want to talk about. That's okay. Luggage, clothing may be going on. There may be some type of trafficking. These are signs. Okay. They're not the end all be all, but you know, it can start with some of these things. Multiple men seen being escorted one at a time to a guest room. Now I've seen that before. Okay. And I've investigated and had to evict people based on, you know, some activities that were going on that went against the hotel policy or any policy, and the police or the authorities were involved in that as well. So I didn't have a problem with calling the, if you see something that looks suspicious, you shouldn't have a problem with calling the, you know, the proper authorities, if you will. Individuals who can't speak freely or seem disoriented, you know, they got to speak through so they can't speak and someone else is speaking for them. You know, you have to, you know, there's something going on. I mean, you know, that's not just one sign. There's several signs, but that could be a sign as well. Guests who insist on little or no housekeeping. Say you go, you know, housekeeper, you know, knocks on the door, housekeeping. They say, oh, no, just give me towels or I don't want anything. You know, if you can't go consecutive days without cleaning a room. I mean, I think that's kind of a policy for all hotels. It may be a law. I'm not sure. Hospitality law, it could be, because you don't ever want to not be able to go in the room because you don't know what the guests are doing. Right. So, you know, just giving towels is not enough. You need to see the room. You need to see what's going on in that room. So that's a sign as well. Cash paying guests. Now, there's a couple items that I threw in here because these are things that I knew of. Cash paying guests. Yeah, you know, they don't want records of anything. They don't want to put a credit card down because that's a record of, you know, Russell Edmonds stayed here. But if your name is still there, but, you know, they can't. If you're paying cash, that's a lot different than paying with a credit card. Sometimes they do still ask you for a credit card, but they won't charge a credit card. They won't do anything. They'll just keep it, the number on file for whatever reason. Guests who extend stay on a daily basis, because most of these people, they come in, they don't even, half the time they don't make reservations. They just come check in on the fly. No one knows they're coming. They just check in and then extend their stay on a daily basis. Right. So, they very seldom make reservations like, okay, I'm here from Monday to the Friday. No, they come in on Monday and then on, you know, Tuesday morning before checkout time, I want to extend and they pay cash. And then Wednesday, we want to extend and then they pay cash. Those are some of the signs that are going on. So bottom line, you see something, report something. There you go. All right. Well, I'm done with that. There was something else that Marriott's doing. I mean, you know, Marriott spent $500 million with women-owned businesses, you know, businesses that distribute goods or services, things like that. So it can be, you know, slippers for your feet or food, you know, companies that are owned by women, you know, primarily women. 50% of the businesses are owned by women or minorities and things like that. So Marriott has spent $500 million on that. this last year. They want to spend up to $1 billion. So that's a good thing, right? Women-owned businesses. Marriott is in everything, right? Marriott is the leader of trying to bridge, you know, get people together. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. I worked for Marriott. I started my career with Marriott. And, you know, I had nothing but great things to say about the culture and things like that. Of course, yeah, there's always going to be some crap going on. There's always going to be a knucklehead out there, right? But for the most part, they're in it for the associates. You know, you take care of the associates and they will take care of your guests, right? And they also take it a step further where, you know, they don't just, okay, we need to hire, you know, minorities or we need to get women and businesses involved. They don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk. There's a lot of companies out there, they give a lot of lip service, but when it comes down to it, they're not doing what they say they're doing. Is Marriott doing what they say they're doing? As far as I know, they are, okay? And their record speaks for themselves. And maybe that's why they're the number one hotel company, although they're not worth more than Hilton, from what I understand. So, but anyway, they will be. So don't worry about that. Oh, and the, let's see. Never mind. I won't say that. All right. I already touched on that. A couple other things. And I've been mentioning this for the last several weeks about, because I'm still ticked off about this Cuba trip, right? That I can't go to Cuba now on a cruise. But you can go if you're doing a professional meeting there. Okay. You can do a professional meeting or professional research. It's like 12 things. And I keep forgetting to write the other several things down, other 10 things down. But the only thing I remember is you can go to Cuba. Okay. There's 12 reasons you can go. Okay. Two of those reasons apply to me and the stuff that I do. All right. So that's professional meeting. So I can have a meeting, go over there and go over there and do a site selection. I mean, a site tour or a fam trip. So if anybody needs me to go do a fam tour in Cuba, I can do that. And legally I can do it. I can go there. And that's what it says. Right. And then also if you're doing some professional research, I'm not exactly sure what that is, but maybe just the research for the meeting. Maybe that's what it is. And then have the meeting there. So there you go. So that you can still go to Cuba. You can't go on a cruise ship like we had planned on going, but now we're going to Alaska. So that's okay. Alaska is going to be cool too. Both of those trips were on my bucket list. So, but Cuba has always been on it. But now I don't know if I'm going to make it there, but you know what? I remain optimistic. So there you go. Top 20 cities travel agents booked for 2019. You know, some of these are, you know, don't really surprise me, but there's a couple that are higher than I thought they should be. But anyway, I don't know. But I'm just going to name them. It's 20 cities, right? Okay. Orlando's number one. And these are travel agents. Travel agents have booked these cities, meaning these are the top 20 that travel agents book. And, you know, someone asked me, that's a side thing, about travel agents. They said, I thought that travel agents had gone the way of the dodo. You know what the dodo is? Dodo bird, been extinct, right, for millions of years. So they thought that there's no more travel agents, you know, because years ago, remember when the airlines got rid of commissions for travel agents? I guess they felt that that industry was done, right? Well, no, there's still 200,000 plus travel agencies out there. So they haven't gone the way of the dodo yet. They're not extinct. They're still there. And they're still needed because there's a lot of information you can get from travel agents that you can't get on your own. I mean, of course, we all want to go to Expedia. Those are online travel agents. We call them OTAs. But you don't get the same things that you get from there. Okay. Just don't even think you can. There's certain things that hotels give travel agents that they don't give anyone else, like the free breakfasts that you don't know about unless you go through a travel agent. Or maybe rates may include, you know, parking and things like that. So there's a lot of incentives that are given to travel agents, but you have to book through the travel agent to get it. Okay. So don't discount the travel agent, especially when it comes to cruises, right? You can book your own cruise if you want to, but you're missing the point, or you're missing some opportunities to get a better deal, or, you know, I don't know. Some fees can be waived because you go through a travel agent. So just check it out. Okay, so these are top 20 cities that travel agents book for 2019. These are all in the U.S. Orlando's number one. Austin, Texas is number two. D.C. is number three. I would say that Austin, I wouldn't think it would be number two, but Orlando definitely number one. D.C., okay, I could see D.C. being in the top two, top three. Chicago, number four, okay. Chicago's a great destination. I'll deal with that one. Dallas, number five for Dallas? I don't know. Okay. Las Vegas, yeah, I thought Las Vegas would be top five. Okay, there you go. Cincinnati, number seven. Cincinnati. Okay, now I invested a lot of money in Cincinnati, specifically Xavier University. Okay, so we're a big donor of theirs, or we were for 4 years. So I'm familiar with Cincinnati because I've been there, of course, several times over the last 4 years. But number seven out of all the cities in the U.S., Cincinnati is number seven for most booked by travel agents. Interesting. But Cincinnati is definitely a different kind of town. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. Huge bar scene, little food scene going on there too. Not like a Chicago, but for the Midwest, I would say Cincinnati is pretty good, but it's just one of those places you didn't think that a lot of other people knew about, but it's actually not a bad place. And you actually fly into what is it called? Kentucky, Covington, Kentucky. That's where the airport is. The airport is not in Cincinnati. It's actually in Covington, Kentucky. And then you take the bridge over the river, and then you go into Cincinnati. Didn't think I knew that, huh? Number eight is Tampa Bay. For you, for the people that are listening and not watching, I just took a gulp of water because my mouth is dry. So number eight is Tampa. Okay, Nashville, number nine. I thought Nashville would be higher. And then number 10 is New York. Shouldn't that be like in the top five? Okay, I don't know. Where are you people booking? I don't understand. So New York and then Atlanta, San Antonio, Oklahoma City. My people are from Oklahoma, so I'm not going to say anything bad about Oklahoma today. Louisville, Raleigh, Columbus, Kansas City, El Paso, Houston, and guess what's number 20? L.A. I think that's crazy. But anyway, those are top cities based on the travel agents, okay? So that's where they're booking into. A couple of weeks ago, I had mentioned the Proper Hotel opening up in Santa Monica, and I mentioned something about a rooftop pool because they said that it was the only rooftop pool. I believe that's what it said, the only rooftop pool on the west side. And I said, well, what? And I said, there has to be another hotel. So I did a little research because there's a hotel I went to before. They have a rooftop bar, but they don't have a rooftop pool. And that's the Shangri-La Hotel. So that's the hotel I was thinking about. But they don't have a rooftop pool. They do have a rooftop bar. But the Proper is supposed to have a rooftop pool. The only one on the west side is what they say. But we're going to have to, I think there's one other one I need to check out too. And that's in West Hollywood. So, why can't I think of the name of it? The London. Don't they have a pool on the top floor? I know they have a bar, but I thought they had a pool too. So now I guess I have to check on that too. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm rambling now. Contact information. How do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels or Russell Edmond? That's me. You can email me at I was just checking. I thought I had a message. You can email me at russell@russellofhotels.com. Twitter, I'm at Russell of Hotels. IG, I'm at Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond. Facebook, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. Yeah, you're right. I have two Facebook pages. And then my website is russellofhotels.com. Make sure you're doing social media. Okay, I was having this conversation with someone the other day about this particular person does PR. Well, at least that's what I call it, PR for like entertainment industry, that kind of thing. And she had taken some pictures with some reputable stars. And I said, well, why haven't you? Because I follow her on Instagram or whatever. And I said, well, why haven't you posted that stuff? I mean. She's you've heard this term before, lifestyle manager. She aspires to be a lifestyle manager, managing, people's life. I guess, I need somebody to manage my life. But that's what she does. Okay. So for stars, entertainers or whatever, She helps them manage, you know, whatever their day-to-day activity is, or, you know, flights and all this stuff, family stuff, whatever it is they need assistance with, you know, to make their lifestyle easier or make their life easy. That's what she does, right? So, but I hadn't seen anything that she was posting. I said, well, are you posting anything? She goes, no. I'm like, well, why not? Well, I get tired of it. You get tired of doing your job? You're tired of, you know, trying to get more business, because that's how it works, right? You do social media, and it creates something, right? It creates this thing called FOMO, right? I always talk about that. Hashtag FOMO, fear of missing out. Okay, so if you're with somebody, some star, like say me, I'm with, I don't know, Denzel Washington. I'll just say Denzel Washington, okay? You best believe that I'm going to post it on every social media platform that I was with that guy, right? Because that's what I do. I mean, I eat food. I mean, that's what I do. I post food. So why would I post, you know, a picture of, if I just met this guy, Denzel Washington, okay, Academy Award winner. I mean, how much play you think I'm going to get? How much, you know, how many likes or how many, you know, retweets you think I'm going to get? I'm going to get a heck of a lot, right? You know, Russell Hotels with Denzel Washington. Oh, I'll play it up. Believe me. So I was trying to tell her, I said, you need to play this stuff out. I mean, just post it. She said, well, is there a certain time? Well, what if I just post it tomorrow? I'm like, well, yeah, but why not post it now? Post it now. Get other pictures. Post them again. Put them in a video. Post. Just keep posting. I mean, there's no law against posting a lot. Or she goes, well, I don't want to post too much. I'm like, I don't think you can ever post too much, because different people are going to be looking at it at different times, right? And make sure you're using different hashtags. Hashtags, you know, are things that are used so people can find, you know, but it has to be a hashtag that people know about or people have used. So you can Google entertainment hashtags. I'm just using that as an example. And then okay, these are the top 20, you know, hashtags for entertainment. Okay. Entertainment industry. I would use some of those hashtags. Why not? And on Instagram, I think you use like 50 hashtags or something like that. I'm not sure if it's actually 50, but it's close to that. But make sure they're hashtags that make sense, that people actually go to. Because people will just hashtag anything. Hashtag, I'm going to lunch. Hashtag, you know, I drink refreshed water. You know, no one's looking for that. You know, hashtag, you know, entertainment tonight, hashtag, you know, I don't know, whatever, LA Talk Radio. I mean, things that people would actually look up. You need to hashtag those things. But post often, post all the time, okay? And one other thing I told her, and I tell you guys this too if you listen, use video. You know, still pictures are great, but there's tools out there that you can use that will make your still pictures look like video. Okay. You can put a bunch of, you have a collage of pictures. You can make them look like videos. They come in, they come out, they get up, you know, that you got captions, you got all this stuff. There's stuff out there that helps you make a still picture a video. So I don't understand why we don't do that, because you get more traction from video than you do from still pictures. Okay. You get more likes, more retweets, more all that. More engagement. That's what you want. More engagement. And maybe you get some more followers too. And, you know, I got caught up in the whole following thing. I know I'm getting off of what I was talking about, but you know, this show's about, today is just me talking. Okay. So I have no guests. I have a couple of things I'm going to talk about, but, I have no guests. So I'm kind of, you know, whatever hits me, I'm going to talk about it. But, you know, talking about followers, at one time I was caught up on how many followers I had, or how many followers, you know, the hotels that I was representing, how many they had. Well, I find out later that is it about the followers, or is it about the engagement of the followers, the engagement the followers are giving you? Are they asking you questions? Are they doing, you know, anything like that? Are they retweeting what you're saying? I mean, that's where we need to pay attention to. How much engagement are we getting from the stuff that we're sending out? Because we can send out a bunch of stuff all day long on social media, but are people actually responding to it? Are they liking it or whatever? I mean, you always want to retweet. You want them to retweet things. You want them to say, hey, oh, I love that hotel. You know, do you have any availability on July 4th? You know, that's where you want to get to, right? Regardless of what you're doing or what the intent is, we all want to make money off of the social media thing. And do you do it? It just depends on what your strategy is. What is your strategy? Is your strategy to make money off of social media? Or is it to create, FOMO? FOMO is kind of hard to track, right? You know, because they have FOMO doesn't mean, you know, they may spend some money, but do we know, can we basically track that money that they're spending? I'm not sure if we can do that. I'm sure you can somewhere, but the engagement is what I'm trying to get. It's all about branding, getting your brand out there. Because there's hotels out there. I'm just going to throw hotels out there because that's the majority of what I do. There's hotels out there that people don't even know about, that people don't even know exist. And you know why? Because they don't have a social media presence. If they may have a social media page, they may have platforms, they may be involved in platforms, or at least have set something up, but they're not posting things on a regular basis. So you'll never see them. I mean, I'm not going to name any hotels, of course not. But it's the same thing that the person I was talking to about posting. I mean, she goes, well, I go to places and people always wonder who I am. I'm like, well, that's good. That's good they're wondering who you are. But start posting things and then they'll figure out who you are. At least they'll start calling you like, hey, I notice you're doing this. What do you actually do? And then that's when you start throwing your stuff out there that you do, and, you know, see how you can be a service to people, especially if you're a PR person. If you're a PR person, you want people to know what you do, know who you are, right? And another thing I told her, and I tell you guys this too, social media has made things an even playing field for just your regular Joe Schmo or your regular company or your small business. Because for years, who had access to a radio show? Okay. Big companies did, right? To be on TV, you know, that costs a lot of money. Well, now we got what? Facebook Live, we got Instagram TV, we got YouTube. We have all these things to use now to even the playing field. You know, there's more advertising dollars spent on YouTube than in all the networks combined. I mean, think about it. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it comes back to the whole video thing. I mean, you can throw anything out there on YouTube these days, and yeah, will it stick? You know, sometimes it will stick, depending on the hashtags, right? It's going to stick, but you just got to remember, is that the audience you're looking for? Because on YouTube, a lot of people will look at it, but remember, are those the people that can make the decision to buy things? So if I'm advertising my hotel, a hotel that I represent, is that the right avenue to advertise? YouTube? Because remember, there's a lot of kids, not, you know, throwing anything against kids, not throwing any shade against kids, but they'll click and like things or whatever, make comments. But are they really the people you want to be engaging with anyway? Because I don't have any money. You know, if I'm 15 years old and I'm liking some crazy video about a hotel, that kid can't pay anything anyway. He can't pay. So do you really want that person? Opposed to like, or compare that to like, say I was advertising on, or I put a video on LinkedIn, right? Where I know that the people, especially like if it's a company or a service that supports hotels, just use that as an example, right? So like say my platform, I mean, On Air with Russell of Hotels, right? So I know a lot of hotels listen to my show. It's probably 50-50. I'm gonna say 50% hotel people, 50% professional people. Okay, those people can buy. Okay, I don't have a lot of kids that are listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels or watching me On Air with Russell of Hotels. My own kids don't even watch it. So so just remember that. So LinkedIn is a good platform to use. I mean, I use it all the time, right? But I mean, YouTube and all those are good as well. Don't get me wrong. More people watching that or looking at that. Facebook Live. People are using that. Instagram TV, Instagram stories, all that stuff. You need to be involved in something. Fortunately for me, I'm involved in all of them. I'll put videos and things and content out on every single thing because you never know what's going to stick, okay? So if you have any other questions about this stuff, feel free to reach out to me, okay? What is a Russell of Hotels group? Say I went off on a tangent, and you guys don't even know what the Russell of Hotels group is. Oh, my goodness. This is crazy. I'm being funny. Hotel site selection. That's one thing that I do. So I do a couple of different things. So hotel site selection is one of them where I assist companies and organizations with finding guest rooms. 10 rooms or more. That's a considered a group, right? I just got a call before I was coming here today. I had an email, which the call was me making to them, you know, asking questions about this particular email that he sent. Say a person had booked some rooms in a city for a group, and he was asking, basically, do I think he got a good rate, a good deal on the thing? Well, I didn't start the process, right? I come in after the fact, right? Normally, a company or an organization will ask me, say, hey, we have, you know, a couple meetings going on, and in one city is Atlanta, one is wherever, Detroit, whatever. I'm just throwing that as an example. So from start to finish, that's my job. Okay, so I source it out. You know, I send out an email, do an RFP, and send it out to all these hotels, right? And then they respond back to me with the rates and what they can do and all those stuff and all those things. And then I present it to my client. Well, I'm coming on this after the fact, meaning he's already done those things and he's asking me, do I think these rates are good? Well, I just happened to just look, you know, I just look at, just did a Google search for the city he was looking for and some hotel rooms. Not saying the rates would be the same, but the rates were, most of the rates were a lot lower than the rate that he received. Okay, so so there's some value with using a hotel site selection company, because I, you know, a lot of us are, let's just say me, because we're talking about me on air with Russell Hotels. We have the contacts, right? So if you have the contacts, meaning your rates are probably going to be lower than what other people just picking up the phone can do. I don't even pick up the phone anymore. Everything goes through online, right? A platform where we find these rooms. So we don't have to pick up the phone necessarily. At least the initial go around, we don't have to pick up the phone. So everything is done electronically. So when I told this gentleman this, he's like, oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, can you do this? Can you do that? I'm like, yeah, I can do those things. And how much does it cost me? I said, you know, for you, it doesn't cost anything. Well, it doesn't cost anyone anything. For me to do hotel site selection for someone, it costs the client zero. Okay, so my job is to find the best hotel rooms at the best rate, best price or whatever for the client. That's what I do, right? And it's free for the client. The hotel pays a commission for me bringing the business to the hotel. So that's how I get paid. So I explained the whole process to the gentleman. He's like, oh, this is great. I've never heard of this. Like, okay, yeah, I'm the only one in the world that does it. So call me. So that's one thing I do. So hotel site selection, okay? So that's one thing I do. Digital marketing via social media. More specifically, you know, the platforms that you guys don't do content or don't send out. You're not tweeting. You're not doing things on postings on Instagram. I do that stuff. So I'll do that for hotels and things like that. So I do videos. You check my YouTube channel, Russell of Hotels. You check IG. You check Twitter. You check Facebook. And LinkedIn. I do videos on all hotels, a lot of hotels. So you can check them out. I've done over 200. So that's another thing I do. So I produce those videos for destinations and hotels. A hotel task force, I also do that. So a task force person would be someone that would go in on a temporary basis to assist the hotels. Maybe they don't have a general manager or a director of sales and marketing. But of course, you know, you can't just let that go. Those positions need to be filled, or at least to have someone in there to make sure things are still going according to your plan, right? So you don't have a GM. Guess what's going to happen? Things are going to fall through the cracks. You don't have a director of sales and marketing. Guess what? No one's going to be going out and making sales calls, soliciting. Who are they going to call if they need a contract for rooms and things like that? So on a temporary basis, that's what I do. I'll go into hotels, regardless where it is in the United States, wherever we go, and that's what we do. And I'm a radio show host, so I interview today's hospitality professionals. And most weeks I do that, but this week was a different kind of week. You know, people are busy with 4th of July coming up, so it's just me today, and which is fine because I know you guys prefer to listen to me than anyone else. That was a joke, and I'm drinking water too. Who's on blast? Now, being on blast means these are people I want on the show. Being on blast is not a bad thing, okay? That just means that I respect you enough to have you on the show and you talk about you, you know, how you started your career, what you're doing now. So you can promote yourself. You can promote your brand that you're working for, or if you're the brand, they can promote you. And normally you are the brand. So you're a brand that works for a brand. So remember that. So everything that you put out, you're the brand. So Russell Edmond is a brand, right? Russell of Hotels is a brand. Okay. I happen to work for Russell of Hotels, but I was a brand Russell before I became Russell of Hotels. So whatever you thought about me, you probably think the same thing about the company, right? So that's basically how it works. So just remember, you're the brand. So whatever you do affects your brand. So Brian Churchill is on blast. Brian Churchill is with LACVB or LA Tourism. Excuse me, not CVB anymore. Nelly, a.k.a. Foodie Call, you're on blast. Luis Torres with Universal Studios, you're on blast. Kenya Bannister Stamps, you're on blast. She is with Long Beach CVB or Visit Long Beach. And then Samuel Thompson and Matthew Diamond with Sync Meeting Management, you're on blast as well. In fact, on the side thing, thank you to Samuel Thompson for the invitation to, I can't remember what it was, Preferred Hotels? That's what it was. So, you know, we, as an independent person, independent entrepreneur, right, you always think you're out there on your own, doing things on your own. Well, in some respect, you are, but it's always good to have a community of other entrepreneurs that look out for you. And Sam Thompson is one of the ones that looks out for me. We look out for each other, right? So if there's something that he gets that I don't get, he sends to me. If it's something that I get and that he didn't get, I'll send it to him. So we kind of collaborate on that, along with other people like Amani Roberts, who was here last week. I mean, we all try to, you know, keep our own little village, if you will. And, you know, I'm accepting people in my village all the time. In fact, Stephanie Smith, who's with Cogwheel Marketing, she sends me stuff all the time. Now, she was a guest here about three, four weeks ago. And since she's a guest here, she sends me stuff all the time, stuff that I can use, right? Stuff that's helpful to me or stuff that I need to think about. So I thank you, Stephanie. I thank you for being. And she always says, are you getting tired of me yet? Like, no, I'm not getting tired of you. I appreciate the information you give me. And I always learned something a long time ago, and it still reigns true today. And I tell my kids this: if you're the smartest one in your group, you need a new group. Okay. I don't claim to be, I mean, I claim to know some stuff, right? But there's people that are a lot smarter than I am, right? That if you don't surround yourself and pick their brains, you're only going to know what you know, right? So I always make sure that, you know, the circle of people, my entrepreneurial circle, most people know more than I do. So I can learn things and, you know, they can push you up, right? And the same thing, I can push them up too. But like, I appreciate Sam. I appreciate Amani, Craig Sullivan, he's helped me out. Like I said, Stephanie Smith, she's helped me out too. I mean, Jeanette Seha, I mean, the Traveling Greek. I mean, all these people have helped me out to get to kind of, you know, where I am doing what I do. But you can't do it alone, right? So even if you're an entrepreneur, you need to have a circle of people that you kind of, a circle of trust, you know, kind of people that you trust or at least trust their opinion on what they're talking about, right? So Stephanie is like, she's the marketing guru, right? So if she's sending me stuff, if she's spending her time emailing me, did you think about this? Did you do that? There's some stuff on LinkedIn that I thought I knew that I didn't know because she brought it out. She's like, I checked your LinkedIn page and it's whack, basically. She didn't say it in those words. She said it in so many words, right? But she helped me out and I saw it. And I'm like, I accepted it. And like, I was kind of, I didn't get caught in my feelings or anything like that, but it was like eye opening. Like I thought I knew this stuff, but no, she brought out some things that I wasn't doing. So I did them. And then she brought out something else. So it was just a question yesterday. She emailed me, had to do with Instagram. And actually I had done it, but I had not gone back as far as the verification part, Stephanie, just so you know, just in case you're listening. But I do appreciate that. And no, you're not bothering me and continue to bother me. Yeah, you are bothering me, but continue to do it. So thank you very much. So thank you to Imani Roberts for last week. I appreciate you coming on the show. Imani Roberts is like, he does everything. He's like, he has like 13 jobs. Okay. So he's a professor. He's a DJ. He's the vice president of MPI. I mean, he does so much stuff. He gets involved with the Scratch Academy. He mentors. There's a lot of things that we did not talk about that he does. So I just want to make sure, I just want to let him know that I do appreciate it. And I'll, like I said, I promote the heck out of people that I know that will do a great job. So if you need a DJ for any occasion, this is the guy, right? Professional, shows up on time. If you need a playlist, he's going to do it. He produces, you know, his own beats and all this kind of stuff. So he brings a different element to, you know, just a DJ, right? So he does a lot of different things. So if you, like I said, if you need a DJ, Imani Roberts is your guy. There you go. Millennials. What is a millennial? I always see these things. We need to appeal to the millennial. You know what? We need to get more business from the millennials. What the heck does that mean? I mean, I know what a millennial is, but why do we focus on the demographics? A millennial is a different demographic, right? It's not a person, okay? So you're trying to tell me that this whole group of millennials thinks the same way? No, they don't think the same way, okay? So that's a misnomer, I think. That's one of those things. It's a myth that you got to, you know, all millennials think a certain way. All millennials are, you know, they're this way, or they job hop, or, you know, they're untrainable, you know, that kind of stuff. That's not true. Okay. So you have to take, just like any other demographic, you have to treat everyone as an individual. Okay. How is that easy? No, none of this marketing stuff is easy, right? You try to reach certain people, you try to reach a certain persona. Okay. A persona is bigger than a demographic. Okay. It's that way. If you know a specific persona, then you can get into their buying habits and things like that. But that's a story for another day. Right. But I'm always, you know, baffled when they say, well, we need to go after this millennial. The millennials are the, you know, they're this, they're that. They expect everything. They don't want to do anything. They don't. Well, some of them are like that, but not all of them. Okay. So are we advertising to the masses? Do we think everyone is like that and we're forgetting about the few people that aren't like that? I don't know. But millennials, basically, anyone is born from 1981 to 1996. So they're in that 22 to 37 year age range right now. You know, I have a daughter that's 22. So I guess she fits into that. You know, is she come across as being entitled and things like that? I don't think so, but she does have, well, maybe, let me just back up, you know, starts a job and maybe expects to be promoted too quickly, or, you know, I just started my job and been there 2 weeks and I need a day off, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, that's, you know, that's not a good trait to have. But you know, it comes, if this is your first real job, I mean, I think a lot of people wouldn't, not necessarily think like that, but, well, maybe even think like that. You're like, well, if you haven't been told anything, if you haven't been trained, if you haven't been mentored, anything like that, is your first real job, then I think a lot of people would think that, okay? And we're talking about job hopping. Millennials, you know, they're not loyal. Well, who's loyal these days? I mean, are the employers loyal to employees? I mean, a lot of people move around. I mean, hospitality industry, we move around. Does that mean because, you know, I'm not a millennial. No, I'm not. So, but you know, a lot of us have moved around in our career because that's the way the industry is or was. Okay. That's why we did that. Had nothing to do with our demographic of people. And maybe they were saying the same thing about us. Maybe, you know, the baby boomers were saying the same things about us. I don't know, but just remember, you have to treat people. You have to market to individuals. You can't market everything to just one group. Because millennials are not just one group of, there are one group of people, but they're individuals. I guess that's what I'm saying. So remember that. Just because a group of people fits into the same age group doesn't mean they're all the same. So remember, when you're trying to change your corporate culture for millennials, they still need training. They still need mentors. They still need to be developed. Are they loyal? They could be loyal. It depends on what you're giving them. I mean, how much time are you spending with them? Yeah, you know, as far as training is probably the most expensive thing, right? You have to spend time on everybody, not just the millennials or anyone that you're hiring. You have to spend time to train them because you want to retain them, right? Because every time someone leaves, you got to train someone else again. So it costs more money to do that. So that was one thing I wanted to talk about. How do you get to stand out in the crowd? How do you stand out in the crowd? How do you get your business to stand out in the crowd? Cater to buyers' desires for innovative experience. So, okay, that's one. Okay, this is how to stand out in the crowd. So if you have a hotel, how to stand out in the crowd. I think I have five of these. Cater to the buyer's desire for an innovative experience. Remember, everybody wants an experience. Like I always say, it's not about your stay. It's about your experience from when you made the reservation to when you walk out that door, you're leaving, right? How was your experience? So, you know, meet and greets, guest meet and greets. Do we do that? Not all hotels can do this though. Not all hotels can do this, but you know, guest meet and greets, social happy hours, maybe free yoga classes, things like that. I mean, those are things that are maybe a little bit more innovative than other hotels do. So what is your hotel doing compared to your competition? You need to do something to stand out. Pull out all the stops for your loyalty customers. How do we treat the loyalty members? So if I'm a, you know, Marriott Bonvoy, what am I getting? Am I getting the same thing that Joe Blow just checked in? He's not a member at all, but is he getting the same thing? I need to be treated like, you know, I need to be treated a little differently. So what are you saying to me that person's not getting? What about an example would be video message from a GM. Who gets that? Somebody checks out, their loyalty member. I'm a GM of this hotel. I do this little quick video, just, hey, thank you. Hey, I'm Russell Edman, GM of the blah, blah, blah hotel. I just want to personally thank you. I know I didn't get a chance to meet you, but I just want to personally thank you for staying at our hotel. We appreciate your business. We can't do this alone. You make our hotel successful. Thank you again. If it's ever anything I can do for you, please feel free to give me a call. And this is my number. Boom, 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 boom. Or this is my email. Done. 30-second video. Who's thought of that? I never received a video like that before. See, that's the thing. You listen to Russ on Air or Russell Hotels, you get stuff to use, okay? You get things to use. We get all this information about the client, right? About the guests. I know my time's winding down. We get all this information about the guests. We get their phone numbers. We get their addresses, but we don't use it. Why not use the information that we get? Promote employee ambassadors via social media. You have a great employee that talks about the hotel all the time. We all have them. We all have that one employer, several of employees that will talk about your hotel. They'll talk it up to all the guests. Why not have them on your social media, you know, doing a quick video? You know, I live in the area. I've been here for 25 years, blah, blah, blah. People love that. Employees or associates are the most underutilized tools that we have in our businesses. If that's hotels, whatever it is, they are the most underutilized people. Use that. I mean, talk to them. I mean, if it's a union house, you got to go through union rules. But let's say it's not union house. You can use those people. Ask them. I mean, you know, some incentives to do that. I mean, I think we're missing the point, or we're missing some opportunities to do some good things. And you're getting free advice here. I'm not charging you for this stuff. I'm giving it to you for free. Think outside the box when creating content. You know, if you're doing content for your platforms, your Facebook page and things like that, make sure you use video. That's the only thing I have to say about that. Whatever you're doing, use video. There's tools out there. Even if you have a lot of still pictures, you can use those, but there's a certain programs that you can use that you can put those still pictures into this video format, and it makes it look like a video, and you get more engagement. I'm telling you, guaranteed. Personalize your message as often as possible. Access to info regarding customer preference. Like I said, we get all this information. Okay, now this is different. Okay, personalize your message as often as possible. There's this example, and I have to leave it at this because I'm almost out of time. So Ritz-Carlton, okay, now we know Ritz-Carlton's a high-end hotel, it's a luxury hotel. So the story is, and I heard this years ago, the story is a family leaves a stuffed doll, a little kid with a family, they're on a family weekend or whatever, leaves a stuffed doll, I don't know what it was, let's just say it was a teddy bear, little teddy bear, right? So I think the dad calls the hotel, calls housekeeping and says, or lost and found, said, hey, my son left a stuffed doll in room 2003. Oh, yes, we do have it. Okay, can you mail it to me? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. They didn't just mail it to the person. They took pictures of this little stuffed bear, like eating, you know, sitting in front of a plate of food, at the pool, lounging, you know, things like that. They just took this thing and went somewhere where no one else is gone. Okay, they went to another land, right? Another universe with this. I'm not saying you need to do that, but you need to do something. But when those people, but check this out. This is the thing that this is the key here. Do you think those people that when they received that, so they what they did, they got the bear back, but they got these pictures, like 10 photos of the bear doing certain things around the hotel. So someone took time to take pictures of this bear, like I said, in front of a plate of food, at the pool, lounging, at the gym, in the spa, in the sauna, you know, all the services that the Ritz-Carlton provided, they showed, they depicted this picture of this bear doing those things. Guess what that does? I mean, that what does that do? It creates FOMO again, fear of missing out on something. And guess how many people they shared that with? They shared that with tons of people. You know, Ritz-Carlton did this. You know, Ritz-Carlton's part of Marriott. So there you go. I mean, Ritz-Carlton did this, and, you know, who knows how much business they got from that. But I can guarantee you that family who received those photos and that bear back, they're probably Ritz-Carlton people forever. And that's what you want. You want to create an atmosphere where people are going to keep coming back. Because believe me, as a salesperson, it's easier to get people that are happy than the people that are ticked off. Okay, you can't get those. It's hard to get those people that have been ticked off for some reason and leave to come back. If they're already happy, they're going to continue to come back. And this just the cherry on top for these people. You threw those pictures with the bear. Oh, my God. That's if they did it to me, they got a customer for life. Anyway, that's it for On Air with Russell Fotels. I hope that I wasn't rambling too much, but I thought it was some good information. I mean, sometimes this stuff takes, you know, time to get to. But I think there's some good information. And let me know if you didn't like it, then, you know, I'm not saying I'm not going to do it again, but, you know, but it was good information, I thought. So anyway, you guys have a great week. Happy 4th of July again. Be safe. Eat something food. Eat some food that's good and make sure you try some vegan stuff. Try the Beyond Meat burgers. They grill up very nicely. I made a couple on Saturday. Oh, that's what I did. It was a family reunion meeting that we had at my house. So I barbecued a little bit, some chicken and some veggie stuff. Maybe I'll talk about that next week. Anyway, you guys have a great week. Thanks again for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. And I look forward to talking again next week.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.